Greetings, dear friends, in the Savior's worthy name. I wonder if you can say honestly before God, I want my heart so clear of self that my dear Lord may come and set up his own furnishings and make my heart his home. And since I know what this requires, each morning while it's still, I slip into that secret room and leave with him my will. He always takes it graciously, presenting me with his. I'm ready then to meet the day and any task there is. And this is how my Lord controls my interest, my ills, because we meet at break of day for an exchange of wills. May it be so every day in your life and mine. A copy of this poem with a calendar is available if you'd like to write and ask for one. Would you join me in prayer? Our God and Father, we bless you today. We praise you today. We thank you today for the Lord Jesus Christ, the living man in the glory, the one through whom we can have eternal life as a gift. For every possessor of eternal life listening to this broadcast, we give you thanks and ask, Father, that you will minister to them, supply their needs, be to them what they have need of today. For any, Lord, listening who have never experienced the new birth, they can't expect to daily exchange wills with you until first they surrender to you and become your child by virtue of that new birth through trusting the Lord Jesus. For them we pray, our God, that this will be their day, their hour of decision. Bless again, we pray, all listeners, as in his worthy name, we give you our thanks. Amen. Who is God? This is the subject that we have been considering on several recent broadcasts. Who is God? Or the greatness of Almighty God? The scripture tells us there is but one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we have been considering God in all of his greatness, such as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Nissa, the Lord our banner, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. We have been considering the fact that he chose to manifest himself, to declare and reveal himself, not only as God Jehovah, God the Father, but as we read the word of God, we find him revealing himself also as God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. From Colossians chapter 1, where we considered in our last broadcast, we find out that he is the very one who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That is, those of us who are saved, born again, redeemed Christians. In fact, the next verse tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You may recall that we read in the book of Leviticus, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And this friend of mine brought on the necessity of having one die for us and shed his blood who was sinless. And that was the reason why the virgin birth was necessary. He had to sidestep the blood poisoning of human sin. He had to come into this world, born of the Virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, that he might go to the cross, and there, as God the Son, die for the likes of us. And thus we read, both in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, of the coming of this Messiah, this one who was prophesied of old, that he would come into the world, and he would then be the Savior of all who would trust him. You see, he's the God of eternity past. Micah tells us that this one who was to be born in Bethlehem has been from of old, from everlasting, or as the margin puts it, from the days of eternity past. Our God, our Christ, who knew no beginning, who always was in eternity past, through the miracle of the virgin birth, became the Christ child. You see, the Son was given, but the child was born. He was born, and thus he began his earthly ministry, though he was from eternity past. And coming by the way that he did, it could be said of him by Peter, he was the one who did no sin, neither was guile upon him. And from the book of Hebrews, he was tempted, yet without sin. And Paul to the Corinthians says of him, he who knew no sin. While here, his one single life, aim in life, was that he might reconcile us, that we might experience the redemption in him that comes through his own precious blood. And while here, he said, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Of him, Paul said, even Christ pleased not himself. He said on the time in the garden when he was praying, Lord, not my will, thine be done. Prophetically, it said of him in Isaiah that he set his face like a flint. And thus, while he was here for some 33 years thereabout, he was a blessing to legions of people, the sick, the lame, the blind, the deaf, even the dead, even the demon-possessed. He ministered to them. He met their needs. He clothed and fed and met the needs of all who came to him. Friend of mine, have you ever come to him for the clothing of righteousness, for feeding on him the bread of life, for finding satisfaction in him the rivers of living water? While he was here, men falsely accused him. They perjured themselves by lying against he who is the truth. Man chose Barabbas, the scum of the earth, rather than Christ, the sweet Savior sent from heaven. They viciously beat him. It would be called police brutality today. They forced a cross upon his bloody, bruised, beaten back, and then with hammers and nails through the palms of his hands and through his feet, they nailed him to that Roman gibbet of shame. Before they lifted him up, they spit in his face, not just the soldiers, but the religious leaders as well. Oh, friend, has anyone ever spit in your face? The Lord Jesus could say, have they ever spit in your face for my sake? They spit in his face for your sake and mine. As he hung there on that cross, they mocked him. They cried out such things. He saved others. Let him save himself. They ridiculed. They said, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. They taunted him. They said, let him come down now and let God receive him if he'll have him. During these last few days, Judas had betrayed him. Peter had denied him. Others had forsaken him. Even God the Father abandoned him, for we hear the Lord Jesus cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Friend of mine, why did he endure all of this? He didn't have to. He was, as you will recall, the omnipotent God. He was the creator, the sustainer. He was all God, and he could have stopped it at any moment. But you know why he endured it? For your sake and mine. During those hours there at Calvary, as he hung on that cross, he bore all of God's wrath against my sin. He endured the eternal judgment of a sin-hating God. Mind you, a sinner-loving God. For God so loved the world, he loves the sinners. But my, how he hates. Because of his very nature, because of his holiness, he hates sin. And there on the cross, in that sinless body of the Lord Jesus, his holy soul was poured out as a drink offering. He was judged and damned for us on the cross. Let me ask you again, friend, why was he willing to do this for me? Why was he willing to die such an awful, horrible, bloody death for you? Friend, it was because he loved us. And because he desired to have us with him in heaven for all eternity, sharing in all the glory that belongs to him. But if he did this for us, what should be our response in appreciation to him? We read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 23, these words. If any man will come after me, said the Lord Jesus, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The hymn writer says, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Since I must fight, if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Friend, if you have been redeemed by the grace of God, then surely we owe to him all we are and have, even to the extent of taking up the cross daily, saying no to self, and following him. Mind you, you do not and cannot earn salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it goes on to say that once we have been saved, once we have experienced redemption's power and the cleansing effect of the blood of Christ, the 10th verse in Ephesians 2 said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Or as the poet put it, I cannot work my soul to save, for that my Lord hath done. But I will work like any slave for love of God's dear Son. If any man, that's an open invitation. And friend, today it's open to you. You can come. You can follow the Lord Jesus. What does he want any man, any woman, any young person to do? Come after me. That's an absolute proposition. Many are following the political leaders. Many are following today's religious leaders. A friend of mine, today the Lord Jesus wants you to identify with him. Follow after me. He went through a pathway that contained rejection, self-denial, suffering, privation, neglect, contempt, abuse, false accusations. Finally, taking another man's place on the cross of Calvary and suffering death. He says, are you willing to follow me? He wants an unconditional surrender. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You know what it means to deny self? It's to say no to self, to selfish interests, selfish ambitions, selfish desires, and to say yes, Lord Jesus. And he wants us to take up his cross daily, not the cross of the Lord Jesus, but your own cross. It's an uncompromising stand, because a cross is identified with death. But friend, praise God when you do, there's an eternal pathway ahead of you. If you know Christ, follow him, serve him. If you don't, trust him today. Amen.